Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Hallelujah. I received some historical materials, several pictures, and some of them were publications from the early 1900s. And in one of those publications that was published by Elder G.T. Haywood from Indianapolis, Indiana, in this, it looked like a newspaper, a small newspaper, and there was an ad for a book of hymns that were being sold, several of those Elder Haywood had written. At the bottom of the advertisement was the song, Thank God for the Blood. Thank God for the Blood. And the little blurb underneath the song said, this song is being sung on foreign continents. And it mentioned a couple of Asia and Africa. It said, every time this song is sung, the power of God flows into services, and we have reported healings and deliverances. It was happening way back then, and it's happening today. I'm going to tell you, there's some blood healing in this house right now. There's some blood deliverance in this house. There's some blood covering in this house. Woo! Hallelujah. Let's claim it, folks. Let's claim the blood right here. I believe your blood. I believe your name. I plead your blood over every situation, over every prayer card, over every prayer request, over every need that is in individuals' hearts and lives. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I tell you, one touch of that blood, and if I could put it in terms that make an analogy, just one drop of that blood can do more than everything that could be put in a medicine bottle or a test tube or anything else, because of the power that is effective in Jesus Christ. By his stripes we are healed, not just healed physically, but healed spiritually and healed emotionally by his stripes. And it's all in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Why his blood? Because there just was nobody like Jesus. There still is nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you love him and you feel like he's higher, would you just praise him another time? I feel like the Lord not only wants to get glory, but he wants to give strength and power. Lord, you are greater. You are greater. We magnify you. We magnify you. We magnify you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just remain standing for a moment? If you didn't receive a lesson sheet, if you would like one, just lift your hand and the ushers can make sure that you receive one to be able to follow along. Make any notes if you're choosing to do that. And we'll be going to several different scriptures here tonight. And as those are being distributed, I want to tell you that God's strength and comfort was with the Curtis family. We were able to be with the family Sunday night some, and then the funeral service was on Monday, and God strengthened that family. I'll tell you, the church of God is a wonderful thing. The church, as long as we're a part of it as humans, it's not perfect, we know. But thank God for the ark of safety that it is and the strength that it is. And the church always steps up. Brother Curtis told me Tuesday evening after the funeral. He said, when I turned around, Brother Kevin Cox had all of the ministers who were there to stand, and as well as some others. Brother Curtis told me, when I turned around and saw the crowd of people that had come, and some of them had come through some bad weather, he said, Steve, something just lifted off of me. Something just lifted off of me to sense and feel not only the comfort of God, but the comfort of God through God's people. And I guess sometimes I don't realize how blessed I am to be a part of God's church. But I don't want to ever forget what he has done for me or what the church has provided for me. And I thank God for it. And I thank God for this church and the blessings of God. We have a rich heritage. In fact, I'll share this more later, but in some of those articles that I was telling you about, pictures and documents and letters, they belong to Brother A.L. Clanton. Sister Norma Clanton brought them to us. They belong to Brother A.L. Clanton, who was longtime editor for our United Pentecostal Church. And I'm going to tell you, there's some wonderful photos, and with this church is connected in many of those photos. In fact, there's some pictures from the old building, and there's many pictures of Brother B.H. Height, and who is a part of our legacy and of our heritage. So I just thank God. I thank God for the great heritage that we have and the great legacy of His truth. And again, we want to say welcome to any guests that are with us tonight. Thank you for being here at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. And you may be seated. I believe any person, members, and or a guest alike could benefit from the scriptures that we are going to use tonight. And the theme of the lesson tonight from the Word of God is the believer's ministry in the kingdom. You and I have a God-given role or a place of influence and a God-given destiny in His kingdom. I want to go back and just repeat that statement. I have it here as the first line of the notes. But you can take that statement very personally. You have a God-given role and influence and destiny. Somebody said, here's the test to find whether or not your mission on earth is finished. Here's the test. If you're alive, it isn't finished. That's a pretty easy test, says it fairly simply. But if we're still alive, there's still an influence and a role that God has in His plan and in His mind. And so there can be questions that are important to ask. How does God see my role, my worth, my place in His kingdom? Why did God even call me into His kingdom? What does He see for my life? What purpose does my life have as far as He is concerned? In other words, what does He see me doing? Or how does God think about this? You know, it is important. I think we need to have our desires and our goals set so that we have an idea of what we want to accomplish. But what's above that, we must ask, what does God see? How does God want my life fitted out and farmed out? How does He see me? And our text verse really helps to answer that very quickly and plainly. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship. That literally means something that is produced by God. Created in Christ Jesus. And notice this phrase. Unto good works. Which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. That word walk in Scripture means our everyday life and everyday lifestyle. So what Paul is saying is we're His workmanship, and those good works should be something that we are doing. We're just walking them out. They should be a part of our life consistently. A couple of other translations, and I put them here in the notes, the New Living Testament and the our New Living Translation and the Message say that scripture in a little different ways, but bring some clarity. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. And then the Message says, no, we don't make or save ourselves, neither one. God does both of those, the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join Him in the work He does. I like that. To join Him. We can think of ourselves as partners because there's other scriptures that back that up. Labors together and labors together with Him. He has created us. What He has in mind is that we should join Him in the task and in the work that He has to do and that He wants us to do. So according to Ephesians chapter 2, we were created and saved. One of the reasons He spent His grace and His love on us is so that we could produce the good works of service and ministry for His glory. And He does have a work and a ministry and a service for you, for each one of us. In the early church, the book of Acts, everyone was a minister. Everyone was a minister. And I say that on the basis of the definition of that word in the entire Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. The word minister means, in the Old Testament Hebrew form, it means to contribute to. So when they said somebody is ministering, they are saying somebody is contributing. In the New Testament, it means to serve or to labor. So when Jesus or when any others use that word minister, they were meaning a servant or a person who was serving. Now, in more recent times, and I think we're doing a little better on this, but really, the term minister in many people's minds has had a paradigm of meaning only a preacher. You know, he's a minister. So we would think that's a missionary or that's an evangelist or that's a preacher or that's a pastor or whatever. But really, that is not the Bible definition of the word minister. When we read scriptures about ministers, we're not reading about people who only have a pulpit ministry, but we are reading about people who have been saved. All believers are referred to as ministers, or in the original term as servants, or those who serve in the kingdom of God. Now, every believer certainly isn't a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary, but every believer is called into ministry. Could I get an amen on that? Okay. You heard what I said, right? I don't want you to amen something you didn't hear or wasn't paying attention to. I heard about one of our preachers several years ago. He just went to preaching, and it was in a rather lively church, and they'd always get with it, and they loved to amen the preacher. So he was just testing them out, and he got to preaching, and he got to preaching the Trinity. And people were jumping up and saying hallelujah and praise the Lord, and then he shut it down right in the middle. He said, "You folks aren't listening to what I'm preaching. You're just a little caught up in doing whatever you like to do." And then he began to preach about the oneness of God, and I think it probably helped probably at least several in that congregation to make sure they knew what they were amening. So you just amen that every believer is called into ministry. And again, I use ministry in the biblical sense. In fact, I started not to use that word in the title thinking it might throw everybody off, because I know that in many of our minds, including mine, when we say minister, but I think we need to make a correction to that, because that is not what the Bible means at all when it talks about, and every time you read it through the scripture, just let yourself be checked not to come to some 20th century definition or 21st century definition of what we call minister. But all of us, every one of us who have been saved, the Bible calls us ministers are servants. And when you think about it, it certainly makes sense, because serving and giving are the defining characteristics of being like Jesus Christ. Serving and giving, service and giving. Matthew chapter 20, and if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew chapter 20 and beginning with verse 26. This is Jesus teaching. And he's talking to them about this ministry thing or this serving thing. And he was talking to his followers here. And he says to them, he talks about how there was the wrong kind of leadership in the world. He said, "That shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you," in other words, great in his sight, "let him be your minister." In other words, let him be of service in the kingdom. "And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Verse 28, "even as the Son of Man." Now he makes a reference to himself, because he was exampling this. He said, "The Son of Man, I did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." The New Living Translation translates verse 28, and I put it there in the notes. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others." I think I put the quote toward the end of the lesson sheet, but one man said, "Do not be a consumer only, but be a contributor to the church that you are a part of." And thankfully, we can consume and receive, and we do need that. That's part of what the ministry of God and the plan of God and the church of God is all about. But Jesus said, here's my example, not to be served. It's not what can I get, but what can I do and what can I give? And so he's teaching that to be our mindset about the church. What can I do to advance God's kingdom? What can I do to serve? And yes, there are times we need to be served. We need to be served the Word of God. We need to be served comfort by the body of Christ. I talked about that a few moments ago in the case of the Curtis family. All of that, that is right. But our continual thinking should be, how can I serve? There's no question as to whether or not God has a designed place for every one of us. It's his will if we are willing. It's the will of God for us to serve and serve effectively. Every believer is a minister. And you see that from the Word of God. And we're going to look at several scriptures on these points on the second page. We're going to look at several scriptures. And simply what it is God saying, every believer is a minister. And I'm going to show you why and how, he says, in his word. He just proves it for us. First of all, he saved us for the sake of ministry. The reason we are saved, the reason we were able to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name with our sins remitted and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have walked with him since that time by his help and his power is because he wanted us to be of service in his kingdom. He intended that. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 talks about how he has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but watch this phrase, according to his own purpose. In other words, God had a purpose and a plan in mind for us. The night or the day that you and I were saved. You can probably recollect the time when you were baptized and when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So think about this. Now, you didn't have a clue probably, but God did. He had service in his kingdom that many of you are doing or have done or will do in the kingdom of God. He had that in mind the very day or night that you were filled with his Spirit. And I know that some were brought up in the church, and still you had no idea of where all that your life would lead you and the giftings and the talents that you would be able to be used with in the kingdom of God. And then others of you, it was the last thought on your mind to be of any service to any righteous kingdom. You came right out of the world. God did a miraculous change in your life. So there was no way that you had in your mind, oh, God has got this in store for me. But he did when he saved you. In fact, some of those kind of folks, I believe God works on even before they come to him. In fact, I read, they had Sister Curtis's yearbook there at the house. And one of the family members showed me a letter that she had written in high school. And her teacher asked her to write about the various students, including herself, as though it were, I think, 10 years down the road. And so she writes this letter, and she wrote about various students. But here's what she wrote about herself, even before she came to the fullness of this truth. She saw herself as being a missionary, carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to various peoples. Now, she did travel to various parts of the world. She was never a, quote, missionary. But yet she was to many people in Gasconade, Missouri, and in Sedalia, Missouri, and the various other, Jefferson City, Missouri, the various other places that they ministered and whenever they did go overseas for those visits. So even way back then, in the seed in her heart, God was knocking on her door or just kind of letting her know. And maybe there's some of you that have similar testimonies that even as you were being saved or before you were saved, maybe there was something and it may have seemed like a pipe dream. I'm just saying tonight that in God's mind, none of this was a pipe dream. Whatever it is that is your role in the kingdom of God, he had it in mind the night or the day that you were saved. And even before that. And so our purpose and what we got to be doing tonight, and for some of us, it's been 40 and 35 and maybe some of you, I know even longer than that, years ago. But our purpose still tonight, our job description still tonight is to pursue that purpose and to perform and fulfill what he has planned for us. Because I believe it's in our hearts. We want to please the Lord. And so when we stand before him, he's going to say, this is what I had in mind for you. And won't it be wonderful to be able to step up and say, Lord, I accomplished that. I did my best to fulfill what you had in mind for me the very first time I was speaking with other tongues, or when I went down in that baptismal tank and had my sins washed away. That's what we're about. That's what our purpose and pursuit is. We must not let any kind of stagnation set in, especially after years of having a relationship with God. Remember that we were saved to serve. And then he has called you to serve him. And again, that word called sometimes has only been limited to mean those who are called to a pulpit or a preaching ministry. But that word called in the scripture goes far beyond that reach and that boundary. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. He's talking about us, folks. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar or a special people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The reason that you and I were called is this: not only to receive salvation or to be saved from something, but to be saved for something. He called us that we might show forth his praises, or to assist the Lord in seeking and saving the lost and building up his church. So he saved us, he called us, and according to the scripture, and this is a very important point tonight, it will help us with our confidence. It will help us to fulfill our role with confidence. You are prepared and gifted to do something in the kingdom of God. Every member is, well, the New Testament uses this phrase, set by God in the body. Every member is set by God in the body. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister that gift, or in our terms, serve that gift one to another as good stewards. In other words, you're handling well what the grace of God has done for you. It's the grace of God that saved us. And so we're saying, God, you didn't waste your grace, because I know the reason you saved me is for me to serve in your kingdom. And so a good question to ask ourselves can be, to help us, to motivate us, am I wasting the grace of God? Or am I maximizing the grace of God? And he said, as every person has received the gift, the gifting, the potential, the talent, even so serve that one to another. One translation says that, makes that this statement about verse 10, God has given each of you a gift. Use that gift well to serve one another. Another translation says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. And when we serve in God's kingdom, I know many times we say, well, we're serving the church, but we're not just serving an organization or a building, but the church is people. And so when we serve the church, we are serving people, or we are serving one another. Romans chapter 12, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to move right to verse 6 here. That whole context, 3 through 8, talks about usefulness in the kingdom of God and how various members are useful. But verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, or the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And he goes on to list other giftings. In other words, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. One translation says that verse like this: just go ahead and be what you were made to be. Gifts differing. And so just because your gifting is not what another person's is, doesn't mean that you do not have a ministry and a gifting. Here's what it is, folks. God is just really setting us up in a good way. He's doing everything he can for us to maximize his grace and maximize our potential to be useful in the kingdom of God. And it feels good. God knows this. He made us. It feels good for us to be useful. It feels good in our family relationship. It feels good in the work relationship. It feels good in the body of Christ. The reason that is, he put that in us to be useful. And so when we are employing our talents, when we're getting them out there, like those with the 5 and the 2 talents, when we're getting them out there in the economy of the kingdom, we feel so much better about ourselves. And so God says, just go ahead and be what I have made you to be. And then there's several scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 where he uses the physical body analogy that illustrates that every member has a place and has been set or gifted for a place in the body. And verse 14 says the body is not one member, but it's many. And then those next few verses, 15 through 17, talk about how the foot and the ear and the eye and any other part must not feel important nor make any other part feel important. And verse 18 is where he uses that phrase, but now hath God set, or he has positioned the members, every one of them in the body. Look at this, as it has pleased him. I'm going to tell you, that can cause you to rest at ease. I guess we will always be tested by this to some extent, comparing ourselves with ourselves. I know I battle this as a preacher. Every preacher has their difference and has their unique calling and their unique styling. And that's as it should be. That's as for me to try to be and preach like Brother X or Brother Y would just be, it would frustrate me. It would frustrate those that heard me. Because that is not what God, no matter how good that person is and how right their preaching is, what is not right is for me to try to be them. The same is true for every one of us, not to be jealous or not to be in question about. Look at what that phrase says, as it has pleased him. So everybody has their giftings, and God employs them or plugs them in or positions them. And then we as leaders and fellow members, we try to allow them to operate in their gifting. It's not that we're setting one against another or one above another. It's just the various giftings that the person has. And so God says, this pleases me. He set us in the body as it has pleased him. And we do want to please the Lord. And he down toward the end, verses 29 and 30, Paul, this must have been going on in Corinth, and or Paul just was a good student of human nature, because he asked those several or all questions. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? He's trying to alleviate the fear and build confidence in that you don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a teacher. And we've all seen the mistake that people have made to try to be something they're not. And when that happens, once again, they disappoint themselves and others and maybe even do some damage. But the great thing about it is whoever you are and whatever you are in God, that has pleased him. And that's the way that he wants for it to be. So we're not all expected to be or to do the same thing, but we've been gifted to do something. We can serve to the body of Christ. And I put in the notes a couple of ways that this helps us. One, it helps us to view our talents and ministry gifts with the proper confidence that, hey, I don't have to be like someone else. I don't have to do the same ministry things that someone else does. But I do have a ministry, and so I'm going to do that with confidence. Whatever that gifting is, I'm going to have the proper confidence, realizing there's a need and a place for that unique gifting. And then number two, it helps us to view the talents and the ministry gifts of others with proper respect and proper acceptance, realizing that God has blessed them and gifted them, and we're not all going to do the same thing. And so that can help erase any comparison or any jealousy or all of those things. God set this church up with some good prescription. He set it up in the right way. And as we do what is pleasing to Him, you just be who you are in God. Just be who you are. Let your talents and your giftings be employed. Let us know. Let God know. The Bible even talks about seeking gifts. So that's all right. To seek that in the right way for the right purpose and the right agenda. God wants us to utilize and maximize our own ministry, and also utilize and maximize and respect the ministry gifts of others. And they may, and they probably will, differ from ours. And then I want to add a note here. This one isn't in your notes. But you and I are needed for ministry. You are needed for ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I've mentioned verses 15 through 17. That's where he says, the foot can't talk about the other parts of the body. The ear, the eye must not feel unimportant themselves or make another feel unimportant. For we are members in particular. In other words, there is a particular role. There is a particular gifting. It really is nice when all the members of the body work properly, right? I'm talking physical body now. Well, that would deserve an amen on the spiritual body too, but physical body, that's not quite so close to home. So let's talk about that a minute. It really feels good to the individual when everything's working properly. And when it's not, we know about it. Oh boy, or oh Lord, you're right. And God just used this physical body as the analogy that when everything and every member is in their place and operating. So, you know, I'm wanting to do this tonight. And if this arm and this hand had a different mind, I'd be up here. I'd be so distracted. Because in my mind, in my head, I'd be thinking, I want to wave this left arm and I want to make a gesture and I want to make an emphasis with this hand. But if it wasn't working properly, or if it resisted what the head said, then I'd probably, for one thing, look crazy up here, and I'd be thinking, whoa, what in the world is wrong? As members of the body, here it is, simple. Whatever we're supposed to be doing, let's do it. So the body operates properly and in synchronization and is able to be at its fullest and at its healthiest. When everybody just said, here's my giftings, here's my talents, here's what I have, I give that to the Lord and to the church. Someone made this statement in regards to being needed for ministry. None of us are as strong as all of us. We're needed for the ministry in the body. And we are authorized. You're not alone. This isn't some calling that you have purposed or that you have invented. God has called, God has purposed you for the service or for the ministry. And here's what Jesus said about this authorization. In this case, he was authorizing the disciples, but yet all of us. Verse 18, he said to them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, watch this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In other words, through the anointing and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, He has given us the authority. He has authorized us. You have permission from God. You and I have permission. Whatever giftings you and I have, we have permission from God to use those. So don't be bashful. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't withhold it. Exercise it, employ it, plug it in, because you have been authorized. And I know from some years in leadership that many times it seems like one of our greatest fears, and I've experienced this myself, is fear, well, really, should I do this? Really, am I supposed to do this? Am I called to do this? But here it is, just one of the verses. He has authorized His members, His body, to be what He wants them to be. He's the one that said, go ye. He's the one who called us and set us in the body. So with Him on our side, we can have confidence and we can go without fear. And whoever or whatever it is that might be trying to intimidate a child of God to keep you back from doing what is the will of God, I claim Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and you need to claim it. You have the authorization and the authority of Almighty God. In fact, probably the greatest issue in this day is not the abuse of talent, but it's the lack of use of the talent that God and the abilities and the giftings that God has given to people. And then, of course, there is accountability for ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, it's going to be shown what that work really was. The day will declare it. It's going to be revealed by fire. The fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. So there is accountability for whatever we are doing in the kingdom of God. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, where it talks about the judgment seat, which is a place of judgment. And that's not a judgment of whether or not you're lost or saved. That's a judgment of all of those who have been saved, but their works. And he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that everyone receives the things done in his body. And I know a lot of times when we talk about judgment, we think about the bad things, but I want you to notice what he says here. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. God's going to deal with the bad, but he's going to deal with the good too. He sees. God keeps good books, folks. God keeps good books. And I'm saying that on a positive tone. He knows every labor of love. He knows every song that you have sung. He knows every prayer that you have prayed. He knows every tithing that you have given. He knows every sacrifice you have. He just keeps good books. None of it's going to fall by the wayside. He keeps good books. And we're going to be accountable for that. And when we stand before that judgment seat that day, the Lord is going to reward us according to the good that we have done. We're going to give account. And of course, what we want to all hear him say is, well done, thou good and faithful. God expects both faithfulness and fruitfulness from us. And when he judges us, then we are going to be rewarded for ministry. Paul said to an apostolic church like ours, to believers just like you and I, verse 23 of Colossians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, if you just go there quickly. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it from the heart. As to the Lord. Well, this is a great perspective. This hit me Sunday morning. I'm going to tell you, just as recent as Sunday morning, I had this experience. I blocked out the rest of the 300 that were here or so. And just, I mean, it was just me and God over there. It was just me and God over there. I know y'all were here and you were helping me. whether I realized it or not. But that worship was not unto men. And anything we do, what I'm doing tonight, is not unto men. He said, whatever you do, do it heartily. Now, I'd translate that, put some passion in it. The word enthusiasm, E-N, the beginning, which means in. And in the original, it's T-H-E-O-S, theos, God. You know what enthusiasm really is? It's God inside of a person. It's a God ignition. Whatever you do, do it heartily. When you preach, do it heartily. When you listen, do it heartily. Woo! Those smiles feel good tonight. They look good. I'm going to tell you, we lean on that up here in this pulpit a little bit. We need to lean on God. I'm just being real for you here right now. Just being real. I'm glad I'm not teaching to a cemetery tonight. Thank God. Whatever you do. He said, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. What's done unto men will get trampled underfoot. But if it's done to the Lord, it'll be counted. It'll be saved. It'll be treasured. It'll be held for reward. And watch this. The very first word of verse 24 is all important. Knowing. Here's where it is. Knowing. In other words, we just rest assured that of the Lord we're going to receive a reward. You know what makes me want to keep on pastoring? Not only the burden and the calling I have, it doesn't matter how good or how bad it goes. I know that of the Lord there's a reward. If you do it and do it right, sometimes you just got to know that. Because things down here may not add up and may not look all that great, but you just got to know. That whatever you're doing, it may look, a Sunday school teacher, you may teach in that class and it may look like, my Lord, those kids are meaner than ever. But you just got to keep on, because some of us were in those Sunday school classes. And we turned out 20% good. just whatever you're doing. If you're singing, if you're witnessing, whatever you're doing, just whatever you're doing, if you're serving on a committee, whatever you're doing, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance because you serve Jesus Christ. The rewards of work in God's kingdom, you really can't lose. They come both now and in the eternal future. It's rewarding here, of course, the greatest rewards. Somebody crocheted me a little picture one day and said, serve the Lord. The retirement is out of this world. Be not weary is the way Paul said it. Be not weary in well-doing. And Matthew chapter 16 is where Jesus talked about saving our life. He said, whosoever will save his life. In other words, this person he's talking about, is it willing to serve? They save their life, they're going to lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And Luke says it this way, shall preserve it. Our ability to get lost in serving others is the determining factor in finding the kind of life God has designed for us to live. I put it as a last little statement down in the box. But this really caused me to think, 20 years from now, if the Lord tarries, you will be more disappointed, the man said, by the things you didn't do than by the things that you did. And so we have the opportunity. God has set us up. He has just put all the context there. He's made it as easy as possible because he's on our side. He's for us. He doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to succeed. Let's stand together. And if you are thankful to be a part of the kingdom of God and to be able to contribute anything to him, I want us to thank God for that privilege. And then let's pray that God would bless us and help us and put a blessing on whatever investment and whatever gifting and whatever talent we're giving to him.